Actually, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this family that you've brought us into. Mm-hmm. And thank you that we can gather and have this freedom. And right now, we also want to pray. We want to pray for the Coop family. Mm-hmm. And I pray that your hand would be upon them, and that they would feel your arms wrapping around them, and that they would know that you are weeping with them, even as heaven is rejoicing to welcome Darla home. At the same time, you're weeping with Pete and the kids. And I just pray that they would know your presence, that they would know your manifest presence, that they wouldn't have to be convinced by someone else that you are with them, that they wouldn't have to go into theology of the fact that you are with them, but that they would know your presence.
Yes, Jesus.
They would feel your presence, and that they would feel your heartbeat. Just get this picture of a person resting their head on your chest and feeling your heartbeat, Lord, and that you are for them. Your heartbeat is for them, and that you are mourning with them, even as you are celebrating Darla coming home. Yeah, so I just pray for the family. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. Thank you that on a day like today, even through mourning, we can be assured of the victory because of what you did on the cross, Jesus, and because of your resurrection. Because of your resurrection, we have the hope of resurrection as well. We praise you and we love you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, be praying for the family. Yeah. It's hard stuff. Yeah. Mm. All right. Page 106. We are going through some terms and definitions just so that we can all be on the same page when we use different terms. And a lot of these terms are not found in Scripture per se, but they are in the Christian lingo when talking about deliverance ministry and such, and when we talk about the war against the enemy. And so it's good to kind of be on the same page as far as what we are talking about. So we are on page 106, and we are talking about manifestation now, because we got through the strong man last week. So manifestation, the literal definition is to become apparent is, quote, to become apparent to the mind or eye, to bring into plain view or to show. When speaking about deliverance, it means for the demonic to show itself in plain view through visual or audible means. And so it gives this picture of it's hiding. And yet then when it manifests, it makes itself plain. It no longer hides. And so the demonic starts to speak through a person or manifest through the person through convulsions or, there are a number of different ones that we've heard of, a few that we've seen. I know we've had I don't want to say opportunity because it's too nice of a word, but we have seen the enemy manifest through speaking through a person, but we've also heard of ones where they'll slither on the ground like a snake, almost as if they don't have any bones left, coil up like a snake in the corner. I've heard that from a few different sources, and just levitate and defy the laws of nature and of gravity and such. And so, but it's when the enemy makes itself known. Biblical manifestations, you have the enemy speaking through people. You have the enemy causing convulsions. You have the enemy taking over the person's body, throwing it into water or fire. You have superhuman strength, breaking chains and not being able to be held down. You have manifestation of fortune telling, which is more a power, I guess, one of the powers, but it's a manifestation.
I was just going to say that it's the person who is having the manifestations
but it's not the person you're dealing with, it's the demonic
Absolutely.
Spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah, very interesting, because this is all dealing with people, but I was speaking with a good friend of mine whose mother was involved in some demonic activity,
yep.
say, and he went to visit her, and it's interesting, he said, first of all, there were rooms in the house that were freezing cold,
right?
And he said every picture on the wall was crooked. So he knew the presence of evil was there,
yep.
by virtue of the temperature and that the fact that every picture on the wall was askew.
Yeah.
So that's not like
that's.
That's
not through a person, but it is a manifestation.
But it is a manifestation.
I have talked with people who have seen those kinds of manifestations in the home. Weird stuff happening that has no human explanation, and then even seeing what many would interpret to be ghosts, and yet there is that evil presence where you know it's a demonic force or demonic being, and so it doesn't need a person. So you hear the stories of haunted houses, not the stuff at Halloween, but like actual places that are what we would call haunted, and there are many places where it is demonic activity, and there is very real stuff happening, and we need to take those. Like a lot of the church actually just want that's their imagination, and that some of it might be conclusions that are false, but then there's also, the true, that it is really, truly demonic.
Any significance in the crooked photos or mirrors? Why choose that, I wonder?
That's,
I don't know. It's just something that he observed, because it's one thing for one picture to be crooked, but for all of them to be crooked, that would be...
And we know this, why? Well, we know the enemy wants to bring fear. We know the enemy wants to cause us to think he is more powerful than that. And so it really is a fear tactic and a control tactic. But that's where we have to remember who we are and who lives in us. And we don't need to be afraid. So that is the definition then of manifestation, to make plain or show. And even when we then say of God, Lord, manifest your presence, make it plain to our senses. We live in a five-sense world. Lord, we are physical creatures. Here we are. Make your glory known in us. And so in our feelings even, like we talked about last night, and how it is not wrong to ask God to manifest his presence. It's actually very good. Because we want relationship with him. And so, to make plain or to show. Okay? All right. And on any of these, just add or ask questions and such. So, open door. What we mean by this is an avenue of entrance by which the demonic gains access internally or attaches externally to a person. An open door. I think we've talked about it a little bit already. And we will probably talk about it more as time goes on. But we talked about last week where there are, for lack of a better word, rules or laws that the enemy has to abide by. Otherwise, he would just, we said before, he would just take over everyone. Like, possess to the nth degree every non-believer. But he can't. He has to follow the rules and the laws set forth by God, and a lot of those have to do with choices and such. But when we make a choice to agree with the enemy, we open a door to his attack. One of the scriptures that comes to mind is Ephesians, where it says, don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't let the day end. Because we remember sunset is when the day ends and the new day begins. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because it gives the devil a foothold. Well, how did he come in and gain that foothold? There was an open door through your anger. It's like a little crack in the door, and he came in. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And there's many open doors.
Absolutely.
So, for example, Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with that.
Witchcraft.
And with doing witchcraft. Or Pokemon means a little pocket demon. And it's in society right now that adults and kids are playing Pokemon Go.
Chasing after Pokemon.
They're chasing after these things, and but the reality is, if people understood what Pokemon is, it's opening a door to the demonic.
What I would say to that, like with certain things like that, because I don't want us to fall into the one ditch, which I think is a ditch of, like, oh, I can't even go into a store that has something in that, like, oh, I might open a door. The doors aren't opened that easily. They're opened through our choices, though. And what I think, like, with things like this, with things like Pokemon, with things like Harry Potter, with things like some of the things that are on TV, you see the enemy's strategy is to get us comfortable with these things, make them safe, make them palatable, so then that we begin to lean that way. And it's like the pot and the kettle with the frog, you know. You don't throw the frog right into the boiling water, it'll hop out. You don't throw someone right into satanic witchcraft and human sacrifice kind of thing. Like, we'll all know that's evil. But you introduce it, and you introduce it, and you make it cute, and you make it palatable, and you get everything at a young age, you know. You add some candy, and you add some, you know, family fun kind of thing. And then the curiosity is piqued, and you start going down these roads, and then the choices are made. That, I believe, the open doors come through our choices or our acceptance, what we believe. So it's not, oh, darn, I saw a Pokemon advertisement. I don't want us to, because there are people almost like that, like, oh, Lord, I saw one, and I thought it was nice, and oh, forgive me. You know, no, that's not what we're saying or anything. But recognizing that the enemy wants us to become comfortable with these things. I remember one time you and I were talking about even the I don't know why this sticks out in my mind, the Disney movie Lilo and Stitch. Do you remember that? And it's one of the Disney movies that they're in Hawaii, and this little alien, but it's really ugly. And I remember you said to me, that you had, I don't know if you want to call it a revelation or just an epiphany, but the enemy is trying to get us used to ugly.
Right.
I don't know why that sticks out. Like, that's like 10 years ago, probably. But the enemy is trying to get us used to ugly. And really, if you look at these things, the games, the different things, it really is this place of the enemy is just trying to get us used to his ways, his stuff. Good witches, good wizards, it's all cute, it's all acceptable, and then we start accepting the things of the enemy and everything that comes with it. Those things are open doors then in our lives. And yeah, then all of a sudden you have adults chasing Pokemon all over, which is just, wow, that's pretty incredible to me. But...
our Prime Minister.
Yeah?
Sorry.
No, you didn't.
We track that.
Yeah. Once it's out, you can't really bring it back. It's like feathers in the wind. But that's, and so it's this place of, yeah, open doors, an avenue of entrance by which the demonic gains access internally or attaches externally to a person. Does that all make sense then? Because I don't want us to be afraid, like, because I've almost seen, not, I can't think of any people particularly, but almost like, so there's a, say, I've never seen a Pokemon comic book, I don't know if there are such things, But I've almost seen people where like, no, I can't touch that. No, I might get an open door. No, you won't. Like, that's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is starting to accept these things. And it starts actually shaping the way we look at the world that is against God. You know, and the enemy has a plan. And little by little, you introduce, like the enemy introduces his ways. Okay?
Thinking about the word anger, there were times I believed God was angry. Is there such a thing as righteous anger?
Absolutely.
And where does the line come between the righteous and the unrighteous anger, do you think?
I really believe it has to do with like God's heart. Is your anger in line with God's heart? So even though I think a good test is, in your anger, do you still love the person? Uh-huh. I think that's really helpful too. But it really is, am I communing with the Spirit right now, even as I am angry? Is there a communion between me and the Holy Spirit in this anger of what's going on? Mm-hmm. I believe that is the line, if you will.
A righteous anger.
Yeah, a righteous anger.
What they call indignation.
Yeah.
It has been said that anger is the wind that blows out the lamp of the mind. And when you literally get to a point where you don't know what you're saying,
yeah,
or why you're saying it, that's when sin just comes flying in the door.
I think you're already past the place of sin at that point. When you can't think rationally, when you can't listen to a rational conversation on something, when there is the fruit of the Spirit is void in your life, where you're out of control in your thinking, like where everything's clouded, you know that that's not righteous anger then.
Yeah.
Carlene, you were going to say something?
I was going to say just the whole concept of an open door. So someone who's a Christian who has, or even maybe they weren't a Christian and they played with a Ouija board and then they did that for a time, but then they stopped, and now they're following Christ, and it's years later, there can still be that demonic presence.
Yep.
That was from that playing with the Ouija board, that it was the open door, and it had entrance to come in, and as they're trying to now walk in God's righteousness, they're coming against something because
Absolutely.
They haven't recognized it before, and it needs to be dealt with and repented of.
Because it's just like, if you think about it, it's just like if all of a sudden, you know, you're going about, so you're in Lily and Larry's house here, and you're going about, and da-da-da, but then you notice the door's open, you know, and it probably has been open for a few hours. Okay, you close the door, which is great, but you might have a squirrel in here, or you might have a raccoon, or something. And that's happened to people, right?
That's happened here.
Oh, yeah?
Like, when the kids were, still in the house, came down one night, and the door, the front door, wide open.
Yeah.
That's a little bit freaky.
Right. And so, you think about it, it's great that you've closed the door. It's great that you don't have that door open anymore, but now you need to take care of what has come in. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take care of what's come in, you know, or... Yeah, you think, okay, raccoons. But like even like simple things like wasps or flies or whatever, you got to take care of it then too. I actually, just to share a little bit of my story, when I was, how old was I? Maybe 11, 12? At Camp Crossroads, one of the kids in the cabin had heard of this seance kind of thing. I'm like, what's that? And he showed us what to do and said, let's try this. This is cool. And it... Curiosity, right? Curiosity with witchcraft. And we've seen it on TV. We see that it's cool, you know? And so we do this little ritual and, like, we basically levitate someone. Like, with, like, just, it was actually, yeah, it was supernatural. It was crazy. Freaked our cabin leader out, you know? Freaked us. Like, well, we weren't freaked out. We were just like, that's cool. But then it does come to that place of, Lord, forgive me. And then even I remember when I was then praying with Steve Lytle for baptism of the Holy Spirit, before we prayed through that, he asked me, have you ever done anything like this, Ouija board? And he lists a few things. I said, yeah, actually, I have. Have you repented? Yes, I have. Okay, well, let's just pray through it. And we just took a few moments to pray, and then we went on. But you wonder, because something supernatural happened there. And it's like, I opened my door for a little bit of time. And I'll only know, unless the Lord reveals, I don't know how much effect that's had, you know.
In my college days, it did work.
Yeah.
Levitation.
Yeah.
It's scary, but it's interesting.
So, and isn't that the way of the enemy? He makes everything so interesting and intriguing, you know. But interesting and intriguing is not our plumb line. Funny, that's another one we've talked about in our house. Funny, just because something's funny, that's not our plumb line. As we're watching a show or whatever. Or a good storyline, that's not our plumb line. Because a lot of these things, or cute or whatever, that's not our plumb line. Righteousness and holiness and God's way. Otherwise, there's a lot of open doors that are very cute, very funny, very intriguing, very interesting. You don't catch fish with something that isn't interesting to the fish. You know, you don't put a brick on the end of your lure or your fishing line. You make it shiny. You make it... No, it doesn't work, does it? No, I know. You're a fisherman. Unless it does. But you make it intriguing. And that's exactly what the enemy does with us. And if we say yes, it opens that door.